Welcome to the That Healing Feeling podcast. I'm your host, Faith Ashenden, founder and CEO of That Healing Feeling, where we show you how to become a self-healer of mind, body, and spirit through nervous system regulation. Join me and thousands of my other students as I dive into the world of neuroscience, subconscious programming, energetics, and radical self-love. In this podcast, you will learn that your body and mind are meant to heal, and that under the right circumstances, we can experience miraculous healing by leveraging our own internal infrastructure. Let me guide you as we challenge preconceived notions and outdated narratives and dive into the empowering world of self-healing. My intention is that you leave this podcast full of hope and actionable tools. So without further ado, let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to the That Healing Feeling podcast. Today's episode is a recording of a live event I did in my Facebook group. And so it's sort of a mini coaching session style podcast, but obviously I did run this live with my students at the time. I think today's episode is really going to help you if you struggle with anxiety in particular. So we're going to dive into what anxiety is from a primitive standpoint, a few cognitive reframes that I think are going to be really, really beneficial for you, and then how exactly to do the inner work so that you get to be in the driver's seat, not the racing voice in your head. This is really geared for anyone with anxiety, but especially if you have a chronic condition as well. So let me know what you think about this episode. Make sure to send me a DM or share it on your stories if you felt like it was interesting. You guys know I never advertise in my podcast, so having reviews from you guys or just having you share it really means a lot to me because this is free long-form content and it means a lot to know that this is resonating. And also, if you find this podcast helpful and you are inspired to do the work, make sure to go ahead and join me for the Health Transformation Accelerator, my signature program. I have been talking all about it on social media and on the podcast. This is the last time I am running this program in 2023, and I want you in this program if you are ready to do the damn work. And so that link will be in the show notes, but you can also find it in the link in my bio on literally anywhere on social media. Thanks so much for being here. Let's dive in. Hello. Good morning. I am coming to a very small group, knowing that most of you are probably sleeping, to do a live podcast recording. I don't think I've ever done one of these before, so hopefully it goes well. I'm just making sure all my equipment is set up. Hello, hello. So today's podcast recording / mini training is super, super dense. I recommend that you have a pen and paper to take notes. I'm honestly probably going to be coaching for about an hour, but basically what I've done for this particular podcast is I've pulled together like the most frequently asked questions from my whole launch and my programs. And I've divided it up into the hot topic of what exactly is anxiety, what's happening physiologically in the body, and how we get addicted to these stress hormones and the sort of impact, not only on the nervous system, but implications on chronic illness. So this is a meaty one. So like I said, take out a pen and paper and we're going to dive in. I'm aware that some of you are going to be watching this after the fact as well. I will try to save it on here, but I'm not really sure if I know how to do that within an actual event instead of just on the page. So we'll see. But let's get started. And let's start first and foremost talking about anxiety, because I want to clearly define this for you. I did an Instagram live on this yesterday, and I know that it really resonated with people. So I want you to have an understanding of what anxiety actually is in order to really take in the kind of tips I'm going to give you in terms of how to heal chronic illness. So the way that anxiety works is this. First and foremost, at the root and foundation of everything I teach you, you need to understand that our brains have not caught up to our environment. Okay. So think about it like this. We still have the brains of our ancestors, AKA our ancestors living in caveman times, right? But our environment is very much not the case. Our environment evolved very, very quickly, and we have not caught up. The modern day problems that you and I and people in general have are because we are faced with temptations that our ancestors never had to face, right? Marketing, social media, processed food, all of this stuff, these are temptations our ancestors never, ever had. And a lot of our instincts are played on in this day and age, okay? And so anxiety is no exception to the rule. So let me explain the function of anxiety, because this cognitive reframe is very, very important if you are going to release anxiety and heal. So anxiety is our brain's way of protecting us. So first and foremost, I want you to start to make this cognitive reframe as you're listening to this and as you're internalizing it, because you have to take that negative charge away from the word anxiety in order to release it, in order to stop letting it have so much power over you. So back in the day, when we evolved into the kind of version, if you will, of humans, right, that we are now, we had a really highly developed prefrontal cortex, which is like this front part of the brain, which is a very, very large, like 40% of our brain. And this portion of the brain is responsible for higher level functioning. And some of the almost most important thing we do with that prefrontal cortex is we plan for the future. And so what this has done for us as human beings is allowed us to survive even the harshest conditions. And the way that it has done this is it has consistently projected the worst case scenario to us time and time again so that we can be prepared for that situation and survive. Okay, so like I'm just going to bring it back, because again, this foundation, if you've watched my lives before, you might be like, I already know what this is, what you're talking about, but it's very important. So back in the day, we would project the worst case scenario. So we would say maybe like, ooh, a bear might come and attack me, so I need to be prepared. And because we were prepared, if a bear did come and attack us, we were prepared for it and we survived. And so we really leaned into this instinct to listen to this projection of the worst case scenario, because it was consistently time and time again helping us survive even the harshest of situations and conditions. And those who did the best at listening to the worst case scenario were ultimately the fittest, right? Survival of the fittest. They were the most fit, right? So you and I and anyone listening or watching are descendants of those who were the best at projecting the worst case scenario. These were the ones who were consistently prepared for whatever might come their way. They survived, they reproduced, and you are a descendant of that. So again, at the beginning of this video, we talked about the fact that our environment has evolved, but our brains haven't. So our brains are still very much functioning in this primitive way. They are wired instinctually to project the worst case scenario. However, our environment is such that for most of us, there isn't going to be a bear or a lion coming to attack us in our home, meaning most of our fears are not survival make or break types of fears, right? There are things that we know we're going to survive, yet the hormones and the physiology behind these thoughts are still the same. So this is where anxiety comes in. So this is what we call in this modern day and age anxiety. This is like the name we've put on what I'm describing to you. Anxiety simply is the fear of an unwanted future. And I think that if you are watching this and you're taking notes, I really want you to write this down. Anxiety is the fear of an unwanted future. I always say, please write this down. Please write this down, because a lot of the work that I teach and a lot of what I do is to help you work within the framework of this definition. So please do write that down. And while you do, I'm taking a sip of my water because I'm so thirsty. So anxiety is the fear of an unwanted future. We talked all about the backstory of what our brain is trying to do, how it's trying to protect us, how those who really leaned into the fear of an unwanted future were those who were most prepared and survived. They were the fittest in the scenario of survival of the fittest. You and I are their ancestors, and anxiety is the fear of an unwanted future. anxiety is not real. What do I mean? The only thing that's real is in this present moment, right? And anxiety is the fear of an unwanted future. It doesn't actually exist. So first and foremost, the cognitive reframe number one is anxiety is our mind's way of trying to protect us. Cognitive reframe number two is anxiety is not real. So one of the most healing, powerful things you can start to do is to condition yourself to understand that your thoughts aren't real. They're not reality. The only thing that's real is what's actually happening in the present moment. And certainly your perception of the future is not real. Anxiety only exists in the future. It doesn't actually exist in reality. It literally exists in your perception of the future. So it's not real. That's cognitive reframe number two. However, we're still stuck in this real primitive response in this modern day and age, right? So what are the things that we're having anxiety about? What are we fearing in this modern day and age? Traffic, our boss, bills, in this case, chronic illness flares, crowds, music, food, all of these different things that I'm outlining, maybe one or two of those pertains to your reality. None of these situations are life or death, right? Like we know, like realistically, like what's the worst that can happen? Ooh, I eat gluten and I get bloated. You know what I mean? Or what's the worst that can happen? I get overwhelmed in a crowd. What's the worst that can happen? I could get fired. But these aren't survival situations. It's not the same as a bear coming to attack you and your family and literally eating you for lunch. It's just not the same. Our body doesn't know the difference. Our body thinks every time that we have a fear of an unwanted future that it is survival. So please understand that our bodies or the unconscious mind, they only understand safety or survival. That's it. It's two things. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Safety, survival. This is the language of the body. Safety, survival. Nothing else. So when you are thinking a thought, it either falls in the category of safety or falls in the category of survival. If you are experiencing anxiety, this falls in the category of survival. What does this mean? Well, the body thinks that this is the exact same situation as a bear coming to eat you and your family, or a lion coming to attack you, or a famine, or a flood, or whatever it is that we were dealing with back in the day. So the body is going to respond in the same way. So we're living in this society where the majority of people, and right now the updated statistic is that 70% of people are living in survival. Their bodies are physically living in a state as though they are going to get attacked by a bear. Imagine, right? Because no organism in nature can survive extended periods of stress like this. There's not a single organism. We know this, scientific fact. No organism in nature can survive extended periods of stress. Humans are no exception. So what happens to humans when we are living in this cycle? We get sick, right? I know that you know the science behind why we get sick, but let me just sum it up in a very, very small summary for you. When our body goes into survival, something really amazing happens, right? Because in that moment, if we do need to survive, we are able to act automatically. This is the autonomic nervous system helping us act. That's why it has the name autonomic. It's automatic. In less than a blink of an eye, you couldn't measure it within what you can conceptualize as time. The body springs into action to help us survive. You can think of this as a time where you've been driving and a car comes out of nowhere. Boom, you slam on the brakes, right? You don't even think about it. You don't have the process of, oh my God, the car is driving. It's going to hit me. I'm going to get a crash, blah, 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 blah. You don't have that process. You're lucky because your body acts instinctively to slam on the brake and to save you from crashing, let's say, for example, because I think most of us can relate to that. So instinctively, when we are in a survival situation, what happens automatically through the autonomic nervous system is that our body sends all of the energy to the extremities, so our arms and our legs, so we can physically fight for our lives. So if a bear were to come, we could fight, or we could flight, right? So we could run away. And in these moments, we're like superhuman. We have this amazing, incredible superhuman strength automatically without thought. Interestingly, what happens as well is that the logic centers of the brain turn off. So anything that's not necessary to survive is going to stop so that all of the energy can be utilized and mobilized to help us survive that situation. So if you've ever been having like a panic attack or an anxiety attack and you're like, why am I like freaking out about this? Like, obviously I know this is not logical, but like, I can't bring myself down. Like, I know it's irrational. Why can't, you know, the memes that are like, don't tell someone to just chill. Like, it just doesn't work, right? It's because the logic centers of your brain are turned off. So when you are having an anxiety attack or a panic attack, you can't logic your way out of it because you physically can't think. Like, there's no cognitive function there beyond what's needed for surviving. So we're in this situation now where 70% of the population is living in survival, where all of their energy is being mobilized to the extremities, away from the logic center, away from digestion, and away from any mechanisms that support healing. And we have organisms or people who are chronically ill. Beyond just feeling anxiety in the body and in the mind, there's corresponding chronic illness, whether it be autoimmune or unexplained symptoms or chronic pain, blah, 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 you name it, right? This is this sort of cascade effect of like why we have anxiety in the first place, how it has been beneficial to us, why we're in the situation we're in now, and what's happening physiologically in the body. So now we can kind of understand, I am not an anxious person as an identity. I am not an, you know, hypochondriac as an identity, whatever. This is just a function, a primitive function, right? That isn't serving me right now. But it's certainly not who you are. But it's like the more you're in it, the more you're in it, if that makes sense. So like the more you obsess about it, the harder it gets to get out of the cycle. And that's what we're going to dive into. Like, why do we get stuck in this cycle? But if you have experienced this, you might relate to this. You'll be like, yeah, I am that way. Like, I'm always having these racing thoughts or whatever. So now that we've covered this foundation, we're going to move on to the second part of what kind of leads you to understanding this cycle we get stuck in. So we have something called the reticular activation system. And this is really, really interesting and just shows you that you truly control your reality. So this is a part of the brain. Now think about this. The brain is highly, highly efficient. And so if it can, it will try to automate everything we do. So one way that you can understand this is habits, right? Habits are sort of automated behaviors that we don't think about. Something else that it does that's really, really interesting is it filters information that we take in through the senses so that we can prioritize the most useful bit of information. So think about it this way. You are sitting here right now. You're perhaps watching this or at least listening to this. So you are employing one, if not two, of your senses, right? You probably aren't seeing what's happening right behind you or to your left or feeling what's happening up on the ceiling, right? You can't possibly take in every bit of sensory information in every moment all the time. It wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't be beneficial. We would never learn. So what our brain does is it says, okay, we're being hit with 2 million bits of information every second. Let's choose a very, very, very small amount of information to prioritize through the senses and then to conceptualize in the brain. So what it does is it deletes, distorts, and generalizes the information that is taken in through the senses. And it does this based off your beliefs. Okay? So this is really important. It comes back to what I specialize in, which is the beliefs and the identity piece, because this is what everything comes back to. What you perceive on a day-to-day basis is not actually reality. What you perceive is what your brain allows you to perceive, and that is based off your beliefs. So the subconscious mind is where all your beliefs live, right? And it is highly moral. From age about 1 to 7, your subconscious is sort of sponging in all of your definitions of right and wrong. And it's creating this sort of like moral bank of beliefs, right? So to this day, you're sitting there, you have beliefs about everything, about money, about religion, about jobs, about friends, about relationships, about social constructs, about government. You have beliefs, right? That you, I'm sure, believe are right. However, everyone's beliefs are all a little bit different. And none of them are rooted in reality. They're all rooted in what your subconscious mind has absorbed between really the ages of 1 and 7. By the time we're 35, we are not conscious of any of our beliefs unless we do the work that I'm teaching now. We're just like walking around, living our lives, taking in information that supports beliefs that were implanted way long time ago and living and dying by what we think is reality, right? So this is a whole thing, you guys. But the point is that the information that you are processing has been chosen specifically by your brain, and anything else has been deleted and distorted and generalized if it doesn't align with your beliefs. So here's my analogy. Every single one of us has probably seen that Facebook mom that is highly political. She's gone on a huge rant about something and she's like, blah, 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 blah. Isn't this horrible? Blah, 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 blah. And then some other mom commented back and she said, blah, 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 blah. I think the opposite. How could you? How dare you? Blah, 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 blah. How do these two people exist in the same reality, but wholeheartedly believe with full conviction that their reality is the truth? Yet we know we live in the same reality. How is this possible? Because our brains delete, distort, and generalize anything that is not in alignment with our beliefs. So Mom A, who went on her initial rant, right? She genuinely has been presented information that only supports what she believes. Because her brain has distorted or deleted anything else. Why? Because the brain is highly efficient. So it will just delete, distort, and generalize anything that's not relevant to your construct of the world, to your construct of reality. In this way, your beliefs dictate your entire life. And it's why it's so important to continually be questioning exactly what you believe to be true about your reality, right? Because your reality is certainly not what you have managed to absorb throughout your day, right? That's just a function of the reticular activation system. That is not a function of reality. What really moves the needle forward in your reality is changing your beliefs. That's the truth. So it is total internal locus of control, total internal. Nothing about external, because you're never truly absorbing the truth of what's around you. It's all internal, okay? So this is also cognitive shift or narrative shift number three. You have power. We're taking it back to what we talked about at the beginning, anxiety. Why do we have this primitive function? It's working in our favor. It's the fear of an unwanted future. Therefore, it's not really real. However, when we're stuck in these anxiety loops, what's happening? What did we just learn? The brain looks for evidence to support our fears because it is an efficient machine. And the most efficient thing it can do, right? Because it's very objective. It's not like, we didn't want to think this, so we're just going to forget it. No. It's like, we believe that this event is going to be scary. And so we are going to look for any information to support that. And it's going to delete, distort, and generalize anything to the contrary. So you are walking through your day and you're like, oh my God, I know that I'm going to be sick forever. Like, this is your fear. Okay. Let's say that. And you're walking through your day and the reticular activation system is saying, okay, boom. Thank you for giving me direction. I will delete and distort and generalize anything that doesn't support that. So you're walking through your day and you're only picking up evidence that supports what you believe to be true. And look at you at the end of the day. Oh my God, I told you, I'm so unlucky. Look what happened to me. Blah, 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 blah. All you noticed, even though there were 2 million bits of information in every second, all you chose to notice, perceive, and conceptualize was evidence to prove your worst fear. And here you are in a cycle, right? Saying, what can I do? I just have a shitty deck of cards. I'm just unlucky. Woe is me. But you're not looking at the root cause. And I say this as someone, by the way, who's been in that boat. So it's not one person who is like, oh, it's you doing this. We all do this. This is how human beings are wired. And so I think the point of what I'm trying to say is we all start like this, and it's those who choose to take the responsibility of doing this inner work that are going to see the change in their lives. And that's why I do the kind of tough love thing, because I truly believe the worst thing that people can do is the woe is me, I'm so unlucky. Like, that is the only thing that I think ever will hold you back. Like, say whatever you want. Feelings are valid. But like, if you sit saying the world is against me, then the world will always be against you. Not because it really is, but that's because that's what you choose to believe. So it's all in the mind. It's all beliefs. So now I hope you've been following, because I know it's been kind of a long thing. Every time we have this fear of an unwanted future, we have a release of stress hormones. We're going to focus on adrenaline and cortisol. I've talked a lot about this on my Instagram, but this is happening in the body, and this is part of this mobilization of energy towards the extremities, away from the heart and the head and digestion and this ability to heal and all that stuff. When we get this hit, this jolt, we get a jolt of energy. So it's like the story of a mom who lifts a car, right? Like her baby being underneath the car and she lifts it. And we're like, how the hell did she do that? Because when we're in a survival situation, we have this superhuman energy to run for our lives, lift for our lives, fight for our lives. So it is a real hit. Like, people will go do drugs, whatever they might be, to get this physiological hit. Okay. So that energy, every bit of energy that our body possibly has, like a sponge, is squeezed out into the extremities to give us superhuman abilities. So what's happening is, if we're living in this sort of anxiety spiral, if you will, we're consistently getting this jolt of energy. What's happening? Just like we can get addicted to drugs, whatever they may be, ones that induce adrenaline and cortisol and essentially this entire spiral, we get addicted to stress hormones. Why? Because physiologically, we feel energy when the emotion hits. So there are a lot of people, and you might relate to this in a sense that perhaps when things are a bit quiet, or you're driving in your car, or you're trying to go to sleep at night, you'll start replaying a conversation in your head. And you're like, oh man, I wish I would have said this to my boss or my coworker. Like, how dare you? This is my account, blah, 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 blah. And you replay all the things you wish you would have said to your friend or your coworker. And you really dig deep into the emotions. Like, you're living this again and again. And you're like, damn, that would have been a good thing to say. What's really happening is you are looking for the energy of that stress hormone. That is the link that is tying you, the obsession to these events. The stronger the emotion of the event, the stronger the addiction. So you ask people, why do you do this? Why are you this way? And they say, oh, because of this trauma. Oh, because of that trauma. People are addicted to their traumas. They're addicted to the emotions and the feelings that are attached to those memories in the mind, right? And they use this addiction to reaffirm their behaviors. So why are you this way? Why are you so defensive? Why do you have this habit or that habit? Oh, because, you know, in my past, blah, 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 blah. You're using this event, this physiology, to reaffirm why you're doing what you're doing, and you're getting in a cycle. Okay. So there's this whole huge, like, I see this like like long thread that I'm trying to like connect all the pieces here for you of like why, as humans, we do what we do. And again, this is not Susie does this or Steven does this. This is everyone does this. This is literally how humans are wired, right? And it all comes back to, all these functions come back to survival. But hopefully what you're doing here is, you're not trying to survive, you're trying to thrive. And so that is like this next level of human evolution, is understanding, okay, I know that these are very like primitive functions, survival functions. However, like, I'm past that. I'm over that. I don't want to just be like forcing my way through the day. I want freedom from the thoughts, from the physical sensations, from the emotions. Like, that is the human evolution. So that's what this is all useful for, right? So none of this is directed at any one person. It's directed at everyone, including myself, because this is the human instinct. So we get addicted to these stress hormones, and then we use these stress hormones to reaffirm our behaviors, right? We as humans instinctively don't realize that it's our control, that our perception of reality comes from our beliefs and our identity and all of that. And so we continue to blame our circumstances and our past. We continue to get these jolts of hormones in the body. We continue to live in survival. We continue to stay sick. And then we wonder why we're not healing. Most of what we try to do in this day and age, even if you're in the integrative space, is trying to heal outside of you. How many times, I went off on one on my Instagram live yesterday, because I kept getting questions from people saying, but what supplement is it? Or but what food is it? And nothing pisses me off more than someone trying to ask me what they should do outside of them, because the literal point of everything I teach is that it's inside of you. If you want to take supplements, great. I take supplements. If you want to eat organic, great. I eat organic. Not always, you know, or if you want to be vegan, great. I eat a lot of meat. I don't care. I'm not going to tell you what's right and wrong. Not my place. I don't know. I don't really care, frankly. What I want to get across is that everything you need is inside of you if you can take this lens on how to heal. If you understand that the thoughts in your mind are causing your body to behave in a certain way, then you can dig deep into the subconscious and specifically beliefs and identity in order to start to change the narrative in your head. This is really important to understand. The unconscious mind is the deepest, lowest level of the mind. It is not conscious, right? Unconscious. Therefore, it does not understand time. It doesn't understand time, not like we do. It only exists in the present. So when we are imagining X, Y, Z, whatever, it thinks that that's actually happening. So if we're isolating this concept of anxiety, which is the fear of an unwanted future, right? We are living in the future. Remember, anxiety doesn't exist. It's our perception of the future, something we don't want. But the unconscious thinks that that's happening now because it doesn't understand time. So it's informing the nervous system that we need to be in survival. So the cascade effect is such that the conscious mind is sending that signal to the unconscious, and that is sending the message to the autonomic nervous system that we need to be in survival. And that is the cascade effect. So you're asking me, Faith, how does one get into survival? You're asking me, I'm telling you, it's because of the thoughts inside your head. We know it's not because of your environment, because we know that you're not ever really fully experiencing your environment. You're perceiving your environment. But you and I could be sitting in the same environment and have a totally different experience because what we choose to perceive is very different. So regardless of what country you're living in or what products you're using or what food you're eating, right? It comes back to what you believe about your environment, because what you believe is the only thing that informs your unconscious mind. And then your unconscious mind sends the instructions, okay, we're going into survival, or we're going to rest and repair, rest and digest. So this is how you quickly start to regulate. This is how you start to shift. So my interest in everything I do is completely and totally focused on the subconscious. Because to me, if you open the door to the subconscious and you change your beliefs and you change your identity, then the thoughts will follow, right? You will start to look for evidence to support healing beliefs, to support abundant beliefs, to support beliefs of safety. You will start to subconsciously perceive everything as safe, as abundant. And when your identity is that of someone who is healing instead of someone who is sick, when your identity is that, then your habits follow. Stop trying to change one habit. Stop trying to kick yourself in the head. Why the hell can't I just do this thing? And start focusing on your identity. Because if you're working on a habit by habit basis, it's going to take you long ass time to make a change. I'll tell you that. Why? Because you're working in opposition to your identity. And if you can understand this information, then you can make quantum leaps in your healing. So I focus specifically on chronic illness. I know that there are a million implications. People ask me, like, what about limiting beliefs around money or limiting beliefs around work or fertility, blah, blah, whatever. It applies to any limiting belief, but this kind of work applies in my field to chronic illness in particular, because I'm very interested in epigenetics. And we now know that when we are living in a state of survival, there are epigenetic changes that take place that cause disease. My population that work with me are in that bucket, right? So they're reversing these diseases through this regulation work that I teach. When we're talking about anxiety in particular, you've got to think, what the hell is your identity? Why are you constantly imagining these worst case scenarios? Do you truly identify as someone who's always going to be chronically ill? Do you truly identify as someone who's just a quote unquote anxious person? How do you identify? This is going to be the way that you start to change the way that you think. The other thing is you have to start to recognize when you get into these spirals of obsessing about negative emotions, obsessing about fears, obsessing about whatever. Don't let your mind take the reins. You know what I mean? Like, be in control of thoughts. And the first step to doing that is separating yourself from your thoughts. So being the observer of your thoughts instead of being your thoughts is one of the best ways to start to change your identity. So instead of saying, you know, I am just someone who thinks these things, you think, it's really annoying that my brain is going there, but I know that's not real. And because I am observing this thought, that thought is not me. That is a function of the mind. Anyways, back to the present moment, boom. The more you practice this exercise of responding with, that was strange, but obviously that's not real. No worries, back to the present moment. What you're doing is you're saying to the unconscious mind, we're safe. Don't worry, back to the present. And then you don't have to kick off that sympathetic nervous system. But what's happening is, like you train a dog, right? You have treats and you say, sit. Trust me, I've trained 2 dogs, so it takes time, depending on the breed. Some take more than others. No matter who they are, you still have to train them, right? So you're doing the same thing with your mind. So your mind is going, oh my God, what if, blah, blah, blah. And then you say, hold on. I know what you're trying to do, but just don't want it. We're fine. Back to the present moment. And then it does it again. Don't want it. We're fine. Back to the, in time, the body will heal. The body will stop. The mind will change. So it's a lot of self-control. It's a lot of internal locus of control. It's a lot of analysis of your beliefs. And if you do this work, you have to be willing to change beliefs. And that's not easy. Most people don't want to do that because it's uncomfortable. People want to be comfortable. They think that it's easier to stay addicted to anxiety and pain than to challenge beliefs that have made them who they are. So, you know, you can't do the work for someone. But if you're someone who wants to do that work, then these are the questions you need to be asking. And I believe my community is a community of people who want to, because this is the kind of stuff I always put out. This is my spiel of, you know, anxiety, stress hormones, how we become addicted, all of that stuff, and sort of tips on how to get started. But obviously, you know, if you are interested in doing this work with me, then please do sign up for the Health Transformation Accelerator. We literally start next week. It is the last time I'm launching in 2023. This is the work I take you through. Like, if you find this compelling, then your mind will be absolutely blown to bits when I give you the tools to reprogram your subconscious so that you can finally just take back control. So you're not a victim to the inner critic, the thought spiraling, the chronic pain, everything that is beating you down. And I would use the word as freedom. You get your freedom back to have the thoughts you want to think, the feelings you want to feel, and to feel free of the racing thoughts in the mind and the body that's holding you back. So if you haven't signed up and you're interested, please either send me a message on here or send me a DM. I'm going to be on Facebook Messenger if you need anything. Or like I said, message me on Instagram or send me an email, or just go to the link in my bio on Instagram or the links and the emails that have been sent to you, and you can sign up there. But I hope this was helpful. Either way, I've given you lots and lots and lots to think about. You could probably unpack this for like a full year. And there are some serious, serious actions there that you can use to really make a significant and extremely impactful change in your life.